Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Barcelona Podcast, episode 63. We have the hottest breaking stories from the Camp Nou. And the most recent story is, of course, that match that's just finished up against Eibar with Barcelona. Of course, if you're new to the podcast, we ask that you subscribe via iTunes if you've got an iPhone. If it's an Android, it's Google Play, and on Spotify on either. 5 stars is great, and you can also find us on social media, too. We're on Twitter at the Barcelona Pod or HiltonD13 on Twitter and on Instagram at the Barcelona Pod. Well, no La Gran Pregunta, actually, today. We're going to start right off with reviewing that game against Eibar. As Frances, you've got our 5-star players of the game.
I do. But before we've got our 5 stars, we've got a sponsor. As regular listeners know, we have been supported and we're delighted that they have by TicketCompare.com. They've got a link for us, which is tbpod.link/tickets. And basically, we do know that buying tickets for Barca's biggest game is not easy. The box office sells out instantly, doesn't it? And it leaves the user, or you, to endlessly scour the internet and sort of go around looking aimlessly at different websites. Now, you don't know which websites are trustworthy or if you're paying over the odds. And we really do wish that there was a simpler way. This has happened personally to me several times. If you visit TicketCompare.com, where you can compare tickets for the most trusted vendors, that would be the best choice. Every vendor comes with expert and consumer reviews, so you can have the peace of mind you deserve. And you never miss a Clásico again. You could have gotten tickets for the Chelsea game if you haven't. And basically, it's the best right thing to do. TicketCompare.com is your guide to the best seats in the Camp Nou. Now, if you want to support the show, go through tbpod.link/tickets. That is tbpod.link/tickets. And then you will be supporting our work as well.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Right, so without further ado, let's start the 5 stars of the week. With 1 star is Philippe Coutinho. He had not very much time to play, to be honest. He came on late in the second half. But in the time that he was on the pitch, he actually performed really well. The first one, he got a pass for Messi that, let's face it, no one else, and definitely Paulinho, wasn't able to do in the time he was on the pitch. And Messi didn't really score in the end, but he was very, very close. And then he created the goal for Jordi Alba as well. So the 1 star goes for Philippe Coutinho.
Hey, Frances, can I jump in real quick on the Coutinho?
Go on.
So one of the things I was thinking with Coutinho, that Coutinho obviously won't be playing against Chelsea in midweek. So the big question was, and I don't know if you saw anything on this, but why did Coutinho not start the match instead of Iniesta? Because as we saw, Coutinho came on, he was bright in that game. And then the second part of that question that I'm kind of trying to ask myself is, with Coutinho not necessarily not doing so well, but I think he's continuing to find his footing as he showed against Eibar. And if his game, of anything, yes, it fit the Premier League, but it seems to probably fit La Liga even better. So I don't see why he didn't just get the start in this match in preparation for Chelsea. That didn't make sense to me. And then Ousmane Dembele is a guy that who's not going to be in your 5 stars. Obviously, he didn't play against Eibar, and we'll get to him later and talk about him. Why I don't see why he didn't feature at all in this game either.
Well, I think what Valverde was trying to do, I think he was trying to fill the 11 that are going to play and start at Chelsea, and in order for them to sort of get to know each other a little bit better, or you know, have proximity to the game, and that's why Iniesta played. I do agree that if there were any concerns in terms of fatigue or current fitness for Iniesta, then Coutinho should have started, but I think that's what Valverde was trying to do. I'm not sure that was the right thing to do, but I definitely think that that was his thinking. So with two stars, we got Jordi Alba. He got forward really sharply, as he always does, overlapping from the left, making sure that Orellana was kept at bay for the vast majority of the game. And then obviously the guy lost it and got himself sent off, which I thought was very silly. And if I was the Eibar manager, I would be really upset that he did that. But as always, Jordi Alba getting involved, getting kicked pretty much all the time, but obviously kicking back whenever it was necessary and needed. And it was a very difficult game for him, but I really did think that he made the difference. And obviously, when that final shot of him hit the back of the net, that really did help, because that was game over against very tough opposition.
Yeah, and I think for Jordi Alba, he was another testament to Barca continuing to attack and sit back and be patient at the same time. And against Eibar, the whole goal of that game was to get the 3 points, make sure no one got injured, and get out of there. And you're right, Jordi Alba, I'd say he wasn't as forthcoming as he normally is, but he still did the job he had to, and his goal sealed the deal.
Of course, and we are delighted that he did. With three stars, it was Gerard Piqué. He had a lot of work, and people that haven't really been following La Liga wouldn't have thought Eibar away would be a difficult match. But actually, this is a team that has consistently beaten very strong rivals, Valencia, Espanyol being amongst them in the recent, I think it's a couple of months as well. It is really important to notice here that the pitch at Mendizorroza is quite tiny. So obviously spaces were reduced, and to be honest, that's going to be pretty much the same at Chelsea, in Stamford Bridge particularly. So it really was important to notice that Eibar had to be held back at home, and Piqué did a fantastic job, as he normally does, to be honest. He was very attentive whenever a ball came his way. He was really well positioned. He was able to head whenever it was needed and tackle as well. And he kept the host at bay. So I really did think that Piqué did fantastically well, leading a back line together with Umtiti, which also deserves a mention. Didn't get any stars, but Umtiti was very good too. And I really do think that his winning nature is contagious, and that's one of the reasons why Barca came away with the 3 points. Now, getting to four stars territory, I've got Luis Suarez. Once again, he scored. And that's what you want from a striker, right? He hadn't scored for the previous two matches, but then again, the previous 8 or 9 he had. So again, he continues to work incredibly hard in front of goal, being very accurate, being very confident, and to be honest, being a changed man from what he used to be at the beginning of the season. His understanding with Messi, obviously, no words can even explain at this point how well they relate to each other and how that partnership is helping Barca challenge for every single title this season. First chance he had, put it at the back of the net, and then that was it. That was the game, particularly during the first half, the team was open, as we say in Spanish, abrir la lata. And from that point on, Barca had a much better, comfortable game. So I really do think that his mobility up front really did help the team, helped Messi, and that's 4 stars for Suarez.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I know, obviously, who the 5 stars is going to be, but for Luis Suarez, he deserved it. He put in a good bit of work, and his timing on that offsides trap is just so important. And you can probably debate and look back on that first goal as well that he scored, but Luis Suarez really did a good job of timing his runs. And as we've talked about, if he can time his offside runs, he's, again, one of the most clinical finishers in the world. And his partnership with Messi is just a testament not only to Messi, but the fact that Suarez and Messi off the pitch, on the pitch, they're in perfect sync right now. And that partnership is of as important as we say the midfield is for Barcelona. The partnership up top is the most important partnership in the world. When you see across La Liga, when your strike partners, or let's say they're playing three in the front, when your front three are working together well and have figured things out, they're a deadly aside as any other, regardless of whether or not this is the Barcelona that we are so used to. When you look at the way Paulinho kind of works with the team, and everyone's kind of pushing forward at times, and it seems like it's not, again, the forthcoming Barcelona that we're so used to against a team like Eibar on the road. But the other thing I would say about Eibar, Frances, just to throw in, because I think it can't be understated that Eibar are a team fighting for a Europa League spot in the Liga. I think it's arrogant for Culés to think that Ibar on the road was going to be 3 instant points. They had to play a good match. They had to make sure they gave their best at times and limit Ibar's success, because with Hedafe, they were just putting everybody behind the ball. They were parking the bus, and they have a really good defensive shape, and they're one of those La Liga teams that defensively are, again, very disciplined and deserve a top 10 finish. But Ibar are a team that not only have a good defensive shape, but also have some attacking pieces and know how to move forward together as a unit. And they really have been playing really, really well this year. And while they have a tiny stadium, because historically Ibar are not a big club with a lot of big money, they are a program that has worked its way up through the ranks of Spanish football, and they deserve to be where they are. And so, again, the big story here is not only did Luis Suarez play well, get a goal, but Barcelona got the 3 points from a difficult opponent on the road. And again, it's too arrogant to say that those should have been 3 points, or without, or in some way we deserve those 3 points.
For sure. And as we said earlier, there's a lot of teams that are challenging for achieving their targets in La Liga that have struggled against Eibar. And to think that it was going to be an easy game, I think it is delusional, to be honest. But, you know, I know that a lot of people, particularly in social media, expect Barca to play Pep Guardiola football every single day and win, you know, with a manita 5-0 win every single game. And that's just not realistic. I think that particularly given the fact that we are six months into the season now, and players are beginning to be fatigued and players are not at their peak at the moment, I think getting the 3 points 3 days before the game against Chelsea is a fantastic result. We weren't great, we weren't spectacular, but the job was done, and that's it. We just need to move forward. And talking about moving forward, we've got the 5 stars still to do. I mean, this may come as no surprise at all, but the 5 stars go to Lionel Andres Messi. Once again, Messi became the assistant rather than the finisher. It didn't matter at all that he was heavily marked. He was kicked throughout the whole game. He was pushed. He was man-marked pretty much the whole time. It really doesn't matter. You know, Messi always steps up because he was so controlled by so many players, particularly when pushing into the final third and towards the middle of the backline space. He always thought, all right, if I'm going to be that marked and the spaces are going to be that reduced, I'm going to open up, connecting with Alba a lot of the times. Whenever he could, connecting with Suarez. I thought that his association with Coutinho, once the Brazilian came on, was also remarkable. And I really do think that Messi, as always, is the engine that keeps Barcelona moving forward. Could have scored, but then again, he wasn't that fortunate in front of goal today. But to be honest, it doesn't really matter, as I just said. Barca are a team. Messi is obviously the brightest spark and has been for well over a decade, and we are blessed for that. But today, once again, Messi was the most decisive player on the pitch. So undoubtedly, the 5 stars go to Lionel Andres Messi.
He is truly our star, our shining star. And speaking of stars, Frances, we don't really add too much star power. You maybe a little more than me, but we actually have a pretty high-profile rising star, if social media is any indication, for La Entrevista this week. And again, she's such a star power that I'm going to actually let her introduce herself.
Right. Thank you, Dan. I am delighted to be joined by the fantastic Eugenia Caroy from a variety of media. And to be honest, Eugenia has worked with so many enormous sports brands over the world that I'm not even going to say them. Eugenia, welcome to the show.
Hi, Frances. Well, I'm so happy to join the team and to be as a guest here in the Barcelona podcast. I'm as a huge Barcelona fan, aside from being a sports journalist, it's definitely a pleasure and an honor to be part of this podcast today. And I'm super excited to share all that I know and all my experience about Barça and all the latest news live from Barcelona here with you guys.
Well, that is tremendous news for us. We are delighted that you take the time to be with us, and being part of the team is going to be great for us, great for you, and obviously, first and foremost, very, very crucial for our listeners as well. Now, Eugenia, you've worked for a variety of outlets over the world. Can you tell us a bit more about that, please?
Yes, of course. I started off in 2010 as a sports blogger, basically doing all the football content that the women wanted to hear and watch and know about, because there was a huge niche audience of women that were football fans or sports fans in general that the general sports media wasn't really targeting. And that's changed a lot over the years since 2010 when I quit my job in Mexico City and basically I moved to Madrid to do a master's in sports marketing. And, you know, I said to myself, oh, you know what, I'll just go to Spain for a year and, you know, see how it goes. And it's been 7.5 years and I ended up coming to Barcelona, which was my dream since I was a little girl. And I'm one of those lucky persons that gets to live and see Lionel Messi play live. I consider myself a super lucky person to live in the Messi era. So now I've been in Barcelona for 2.5 years. I have my own company. I have my website, my own like social media networks that I also work with. And I also do stuff and produce content for media such as ESPN. I've worked with Fox Sports, with Univision in the United States. And I'm doing now a TV show here in Barcelona called El Rondo, which is basically a talk show about everything and anything that goes on with Football Club Barcelona. So that's pretty exciting. We're having a pretty cool year coming up ahead, and I think that we have a club that it's going to give us good times and many things to celebrate, hopefully, if we keep on the track that we're on as of now. And, you know, that's my inspiration. They've always been my inspiration to do what I do, to love what I do and do what I love, basically. So that's why I'm here and basically doing everything around what Football Club Barcelona is going through, the latest news, doing sports journalism and everything from like a fan perspective and from an entertaining perspective, you know, more than just the analysis of what football is or what they're doing or what the players are doing or what the team is actually doing on a weekend. We also want to do all the content that takes the audience closer to what the real experience of being at a match is.
Well, that sounds fantastic. That really does. I don't live in Barcelona anymore, but I do watch El Rondo online from here and then. And I think you do a fantastic job in there. And the whole team there, obviously bringing Barca closer to the audience, which, as you say, is the main goal here and the main goal of El Rondo as well.
Now, well, if you watch El Rondo, you're going to have to see me on Monday with a very tense show after today's match and after Real Madrid's match against PSG on Wednesday, and you know all the preview of what's going to happen with Chelsea Barca on Tuesday in the Champions League, which is going to be a pretty cool match and interesting stepstone in order to reach all the goals that Football Club Barcelona wants to reach this season, right?
Absolutely. Did you think that we were that terrible against Eibar? We did win the game.
No, not at all. It was a little bit shocking for me to see the lineup because that's exactly the lineup I would have thought about for the match in Stamford Bridge on Tuesday. So, you know, we only have 2 days of rest. Barcelona has only 2 days versus 3 days that Chelsea is going to have before the match on Tuesday. So it was a little bit surprising. But then when I saw the match, I kind of understood it. And some people are criticizing the team and what happened and how they played. They say it wasn't as intense as they should have been. You know, the result was there. The 0-2 win was crucial. We cannot afford to lose any more points in La Liga. But I think that they did the right thing because they didn't wear themselves out and focusing on the match on Tuesday. They needed to do a match that was sort of like a practice match. Eibar was very good, especially sometime in the middle of the second half, it seemed that it got a little bit tough for Barca. But I think it was more of like, okay, let's take it easy because we have a much more important match on Tuesday, right? That's how I saw it. So I didn't see that it was that bad. I think it was a great warm-up for that game, that very important game that we have on Tuesday in Stamford Bridge.
I do agree with you. It was certainly not a spectacular match, but I think people are a little bit hung up in the past. I think that's the right way to say it. With Pep Guardiola obviously treating fans for such fantastic football for so many years, but I think it is quite impossible to do it every single game, right?
I totally agree with you. And another thing is that, yes, Pep gave the team and the fans and the club in general an amazing era of the team that was a spectacular football. But at the end of the Pep era, everybody was used to the game and it wasn't effective anymore. And that is something that Valverde is giving the team, and it's the effectiveness. And it doesn't really matter if you score 7 goals in a match, as long as you get the 3 points. That's what's going to get us to the end of La Liga. And that's what's going to get us to the next phase of Champions League. Okay. Winning, not the stratospheric, results of 8-0 or results that are basically spectacular for the audience, but at the end of the day, that if the rivals decipher your strategy, then it's not effective anymore.
For sure. I think what Valverde has been able to add this season is making the team more compact, more solid, more able to understand the timing of games as well. If you think about it, the first half, and there's criticism for this as well, but I don't share it. People are saying that the first halves are not that exciting at all, and that Barca sort of ran out of ideas and don't know what to do, don't know how to break. But actually, I think that the tiring that the rivals experienced during the first 45 minutes actually enabled Barca to be more effective in the second half. Now, I don't think they're doing this on purpose, but I think it's a whole consequence of the narrowing of gaps, the tiring, and the chasing shadows that rivals are doing during the first half.
You know what I ask those people that are always arguing about the first half excitement, quote unquote? What's more exciting, to win a first half of the match, to be winning on the first match of the half of the first half of the match, sorry, to win the match, or to actually do a steady season throughout the entire season and then actually win titles? That is what's going to make this season exciting. So we need to look further than the first half or the second half. We need to think in the long run. And I think that's exactly what Valverde is doing. And it's crucial, especially in this part of the season, when you start accumulating not only everything that you've done throughout the season, but also you start getting Champions League matches in the middle. You start in the middle of the week. You start getting catch-up matches in the middle of the week, like we have next week. You start getting, all the finals, and everything's tight. It's even more tight this year because we have the World Cup. So everything is like tighter and happening faster, and it's very easy for the players to wear themselves out. Like it's happened already a couple years ago. When we saw what happened in the Champions League and we got eliminated in the round of in the quarterfinals.
After
an amazing season, Barca was at the top of their level, at the top of their game, and then all of a sudden they're out of Champions League. We don't want that. I'd rather have a boring, quote unquote, first half, but effectiveness. Reaching and breaking records like we did today. Valverde just broke today the 31 games unbeaten that Pep Guardiola got during his time as a coach for Barcelona. And so we've been unbeaten in La Liga. We're already in the final of Copa del Rey, and we have a very, very important match on Tuesday and then on the second leg on the March 14th. And this is we're already leading La Liga. Barca's already in the final of Copa del Rey. They need to focus on Champions League now. So the match today, I think it was very, very smart the way they handled it, because they brought out what's very likely to be the lineup on Tuesday. They made it a practice match or kind of, because they weren't like really on fire, on top of the game and running, except Sergi Roberto, which I thought it was an amazing match for Sergi Roberto. But in general, it seemed like everybody was very relaxed. And, after the first goal, you just want to keep the result positive and, make sure that you're going to get those 3 points. And then maximum effectiveness, less effort, right? Because you need to be on top of your game for Tuesday, where it's going to be a much stronger match than today.
Tuesday will be a stronger match. And as you said, it is quite likely that Valverde is going to field the first 11 that he started against Eibar. And that includes Paulinho. So Paulinho started against Eibar, and he's been at the bottom of plenty of criticism on social media. He's not a spectacular player like Iniesta or Coutinho or Messi obviously are, but he does add something different to the team. So in your eyes, should Paulinho start against Chelsea or be benched?
No, I completely disagree with you on the fact that he's not a spectacular player. I don't think he shines like Iniesta does. I don't think he shines like Messi does. But we also have to think that he's only been in the club for half a season. And I think that from all the new players that we've had, actually Paulinho is the player that has adapted the best to the style and has found his way into the team most effectively. Every time he's in the field, he does something for the team, whatever it is. But he always helps to make a goal, to score, to form a play. He always does something positive for the team. And obviously you have a new star in the team, which is Coutinho, that cannot play the Champions League. So I think that Paulinho is definitely going to be there in the starting 11 for Stamford Bridge. And I think it's good because he is a player that he's effective. You know, we don't need him to be a star. We don't need him to be, you know, shining bright as a diamond, because we already have Messi for that. We have Suarez for that. So we need a player that supports them, who becomes the third leg of the tripod in an effective way to make Suarez and Messi shine. And I think it's even more effective than when we had Neymar, because when you had Neymar, there was like this, I don't know, some sort of not, I don't think it was something that done on purpose, but Neymar has always been a player that wants to shine. He always wants to be the protagonist. He wants to be a star, and he is a star. But you cannot compete with Lionel when you're in the same team as Lionel Messi for stardom, you know? So in this case, I think that Paulinho fits perfectly, and I think that he's a very good third leg for that forward in FC Barcelona, and we'll see. I mean Coutinho still needs minutes. He just got signed by the club. He couldn't play the first couple of weeks when the season started again now in January, and he can't play Champions League. So it's gonna be a longer adaptation process for Coutinho, and I think that we have a safe bet with Paulinho there for Tuesday.
I do agree with you. I think Paulinho adds something that is different. We talked about it in our previous show that obviously if listeners haven't listened to yet, it's still available there. Just go through your app and scroll down and it's there for you. But we talked about it and we did say that Paulinho does add something that is different. We don't necessarily need little robots at Barca all doing the same job, and Paulinho certainly adds that physicality, that know-how, that understanding of the game in terms of timing. And it is really, really effective. Now, talking about new additions, Dembélé hasn't played that much this week. I mean, he didn't feature against Eibar, and he only played for a short while in a previous match in La Liga, and he wasn't spectacular at all. In fact, there was, I know that you attend the Camp Nou regularly, so there was a lot of run, which is people moaning in the stands about mistakes that were made, and he didn't feature against Eibar, so... Do you think Dembélé will feature against Chelsea at all? I mean, we're not even talking about a start here, but someone that can come in the second half. How do you see that?
Yeah, I can totally see him as coming as a change in the second half. The thing with Dembélé is he's a very young player, and he's looking to shine and to show the team and to show the fans that he is actually worth what he was paid for. You know, what they paid for what the club paid for him. And that is exactly what happened in his second, when he got injured the second time. He came back after a 3-month injury, right after they paid a lot of money for him. And he wants to come out and he wants to shine. He's young, he's inexperienced. And I think that's the main reason why that injury happened in early in the year. No, early in January, mm-hmm. when he had just been back for 2 matches or 3 matches. So I don't see him as a starting player for Tuesday, but I do see him coming in, especially depending on the results after the halftime.
Okay, I think we agree on that as well. He can be an impact player this season. I mean, I would love to see him starting, but he's just simply not ready yet. And yeah. Everything you said, I agree with. I think also adding the fact that he didn't really have a pre-season because he was 3 or 4 weeks without training, just waiting for the transfer to happen. And he went rebelde, you know. He reveled against the Dortmund. Yeah, he reveled against the Dortmund board and coaching staff and refused to play until the transfer actually happened. So I think he needs our support. He's actually put a lot from his own side, even before he joined us, in order to be at Barca and make his being here a success. Now, talking about the Chelsea game then, we're running out of time here. I've just got one more question for you. What's the result going to be, and what are the keys of the game in your eyes?
I really don't like talking about results, but
that's why I asked you.
I don't like talking about results, but I completely trust that Barcelona's game this year is spectacular, and they're thinking with their heads. There is a lot of harmony in the locker room. The team seems 100% compatible. They really understand what Valverde is asking them for, and there's a different vibe compared to last year. With like after Luis Enrique's last year, everything was very tense, and you know, I think that there's a new Arabs now. And since we were just talking about Paulinho, I think it's important to mention that it's going to be a tough match, of course. Premier League teams are much more aggressive than La Liga, and it's very good to have a player that already has that experience in Premier League since Paulinho was already there with Tottenham from 2013 to 2015. So it's important to have that kind of player who already knows the type of game that is played in the UK. And because if we look back, the last time we played Chelsea in Champions League, final phases, we were in that. The outcome wasn't very pleasant. So I think it's important that we have these type of players. I think everything is very all the pieces are fitting perfectly, and I think we're gonna have a very interesting match, a very exciting match. And I'm already a little bit excited, anxious, and nervous, but I think it's going to be worth watching and worth talking about afterwards, because those are the type of matches that always leave us a lot to talk about. And, you know, especially when we talk about the referees, and then you have all the Madridistas talking about the help, and, you know, they're going to definitely look for something to argue about after that match with Paris Saint-Germain last week in Santiago Bernabéu.
You make a good point in there. I think the fact that Real Madrid fans are always talking, and the media is sort of trying to get you to believe what they want you to believe, I think it's much, much more prominent in Spain, because there's different channels that support different clubs. Normally it's Real Madrid, unless it's a Catalan station, let's be honest. So yeah, it would be great to see your thinking and your feeling as to how it's going on in Barcelona. I can talk from a local's perspective here in London. We're really excited to have Barca. As I said in the previous podcast, I'm going to be having a meal with the board and the rest of the members of the Peña Blaugrana London on Monday. Then Tuesday, there's a celebration all around London. We're meeting in Trafalgar Square. I think it's 12:30. So anyone listening to the show from the UK or traveling into London, 12:30 will be in Trafalgar Square. And then I think we'll hit a few pubs before we make it to the game.
But
you can. It certainly can. So it's going to be a fantastic celebration of football and Blaugrana colours all over London. As always, they're going to look really, really well. Now, Eugenia, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you with us. I think we're going to collaborate more in the future.
Of course. I'm super excited.
Well, so are we. Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Visca el Barça.
Visca.
Great, great stuff, Frances. And I get the impression that we're going to be hearing a lot more from her in the future. So while you normally get to talk to all of our wonderful guests, this might be an opportunity for me to jump in as well. And the three of us might have some conversations in the future. Well, now's the time, however, in the show for La Ronda, where we have the conversation with the listeners, starting with Femi, who asks, well, really more of a comment. It's great winning and all, but with our new style, that in parentheses, of course, of football, defensive, if we're being honest, we'll soon get embarrassed in the Champions League. If Ibar were more clinical, we could have been embarrassed today, and this isn't the first time we're playing like this. And I think we kind of said it in the five-star in the Bolsa, Frances, that Ibar is a good team, and while Ibar are certainly not Chelsea or certainly not teams who might be farther down the road in the Champions League if we can get by Chelsea, they still are a good team that are compact, and they are not worrying about any other competitions. So they're a much more well-rested team as opposed to Barcelona's slightly fatigued team. And so I think the Eibar match was one of those matches where Barcelona had to kind of take it on the chin, take that pressure, and as long as they got the goals and the 3 points, I think it doesn't matter how it works out. And against a team like Chelsea, it might not be a wide-open game, so you might have to expect more of the same. But if the results come, then the results are going to come.
I think our listener does have a point. Barca, as I said at the very beginning of the show today, they weren't spectacular. But then again, it is impossible. It's human nature. You know, you can't really be outstanding every single day in every single match in everything you do. It's just not realistic. The vast majority of games that we lost last season, in Luis Enrique's last season, they were against the so-called low-level opposition. We lost against Alaves, we lost against Deportivo, and we got a series of bad results that ultimately cost us the title. With that in mind, I don't really mind that much Barcelona being tremendously spectacular, Pep-like, against Eibar on a very rainy, wet February afternoon in El País Vasco. It makes no difference to me. We got the 3 points. Valverde's led us to the best ever start in La Liga. We are alive in the Champions League. We've got a fantastic opportunity to have a really long run. We're in the cup final. So I think I'll live with that.
And this is now the second time we've also said that this is the Pep Guardiola. It's not the Pep Guardiola team, rather. But even those games with Pep, that yes, the highs were much, much higher and they were playing the best soccer we may have ever seen. But in the same respect, you know, we have to remember not every match with Pep Guardiola was a sensational, beautiful thing. At times, you felt like Barcelona had all this tremendous possession, but they just couldn't figure out how to break down some of those teams. And it was still the same argument even under Pep Guardiola. Not every moment with Pep was sunshine and rainbows all the time. And so at the end of the day, we remember Pep not only because of the football he played, but because of all the trophies that he got playing that kind of football. And so for Valverde in his first season, if he winds up getting, you know, again, the treble, as we've talked about in the recent weeks, is such an almost impossible thing to do, and so few teams have done it over the last 50 to 100 years, that even having an option or the ability to still be alive in all those competitions is a testament to Barcelona playing the way they need to play. And again, I think the longer they play together, and yes, Paulinho is a big part of that equation. He isn't this technical monster like we expected, but he is exactly the kind of guy that having that bite and guile in the midfield that Barcelona fans were clamoring for. And now they have him, and he does add a little bit of edge to it, and he does fit against certain teams. Now, the listener question number two in Behanzen asked concerns about the finishing. They're arriving and not scoring what seems like a lot, and that kind of does play into Paulinho making his runs from the midfield, adding a different facet of the game, and Coutinho still hasn't really been able to conquer from long range just yet, and Messi and Suarez, of course, have either hit the post or had their misses so far this season, but I'm not too worried about this, Frances, are you?
No, I'm not. In terms of finishing, it's how it goes. It's football, you know, and players are human, and it's not just the touch. And in terms of quality and finishing, we've got the best in the world. We've got Suarez, we've got Messi, we have fantastic players over the years as well, and definitely we do as well now. Coutinho can finish, Dembele can finish, Rakitic can finish, Paulinho can also finish, so I'm not worried about that at all. I think it's all about feeling. It's not just about quality. It's being confident. It's being able to trust your own abilities. And we are winning games. We're scoring more goals than the opposition. And I honestly, I'm not worried at all. I mean, it's definitely not my intention to offend anyone here. But say we haven't won titles as long as Liverpool have, or even Manchester United have, or even Arsenal have, you know, big titles. I don't know what the fan base will be like. We have just gone for the best ever start to a La Liga season. We are scoring enough goals, and we are challenging for every title right now. In a week's time, maybe we get destroyed by Chelsea. Maybe something else that's quite weird happens. But at this moment in time, there is no need to be pessimistic. We are where we want to be right now.
So for Frances and I, again, thanks so much for listening to another edition of the Barcelona Podcast. Bringing the hot springing stories from the Camp Nou. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon, and Forza Barça.
Forza.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.